Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I like to tell a lot of stories about my grandmother. And my grandmother had a favorite piece of scripture. And she loved this lesson from Hebrews. She often quoted that you may entertain angels unaware. She loved to say that whenever we would be going somewhere or traveling and someone would come up to her and bum money. I don't know if my grandmother looked like an easy mark or what, but they would always come up to her and she would always have a dollar or two or whatever and give them. And I can very vividly remember someone saying, I think it was an aunt or somebody, like, how do you know that they really need that? And my grandmother would always say, you know, if I have something and someone asks of me, if I don't give it, it says something about me. Now, if they don't need it and they ask, that says something about them. I may be entertaining angels unaware. It's always struck me. The lesson written, though, it comes from the first century A.D., when those who would be traveling and in need of hospitality did so at great risk and peril. It wasn't exactly like there were Holiday Inns all over the place, okay? As a matter of fact, there were very few inns even so much. Usually on roads traveled between larger cities, you may find some sort of little outpost where people could spend the night. For the most part, though, whenever you travel to another city, you would probably just try to find someone who would allow you to stay with them. And so hospitality was understood to be this care for those who were in danger, those who were in trouble or need. You did this because you would, in a certain sense, want this extended to you if you were traveling. And so we have a lot of stories about those who travel in Christian history. There's a story about a man in the late 2nd, early 3rd century, a very tall man, 5 cubits tall, which if we follow that measurement out, is 7.5 foot tall. He should have been playing basketball, but he was a little early for that. And very strong, and he wanted to go out, and he wanted, so the story goes, to serve the strongest king he could find. And so he went out in search of the strongest king, and he found this king who had a mighty army. And he said, this is the strongest king, and I will serve him. But he noticed one day that the king had been very squeamish whenever someone said something about the devil, and that he had recoiled away. And so this man said, the devil must be the strongest king there is. I will go and serve him. And so he sought out the devil. And so he found the devil, and they were walking along, and there was a cross by the side of the road. And the devil went to the other side of the road, so he didn't get near the cross. And so the man said, it must be this Christ that is the most powerful king that there is, and so I will go and serve him. And so he goes and he finds this priest, this holy man, this hermit, and he says, I wish to serve Christ. How can I do this? And the old hermit said, you can best serve him by a life of fasting, prayer, and celibacy. And the guy said, I don't think that's for me. And so he said, well, the hermit told him, well, there is a river crossing near here, and many pilgrims die, many travelers die crossing this river. You're a strong man, you're a tall man. Why don't you help these people, and that would be your Christian duty, to help these people traveling. And so he oftentimes led people by hand across the river, or if they were very young or infirm or old, he would actually put them up on his shoulders and cross this river so they could get across safely. One day, out of nowhere, this little child appears. And the child says, I need to cross the river. He says, where are your parents? He said, I need to cross the river. So this big, tall man, 7'5", picks up this child and puts the child on his shoulders and starts to cross the river. He'd never felt such weight before. This child seemed to weigh a ton, and he was crossing with great difficulty, barely able to make it across to the other side. When he finally gets there, he takes this little kid off and he says, I've never had such weight on my shoulders. And the little child according to the story, says, well, you've never borne the weight of the one who created the world. And the child revealed himself to be Jesus and vanished in front of him. There's another ancient story of a man who had a very troubled upbringing. From a wealthy family, he left because of a curse that was actually supposedly placed on him. His father had not shown hospitality to someone, and this woman cursed him and said that your son will one day kill you. And the man was mortified. And when the young boy grew up and heard of this curse to help save his parents, he fled away. But he did let his parents know where he was at. So many years passed by, and his parents decide that they want to see him. So they leave. The boy's taken his inheritance with him. And so he's bought a fine house. And he goes, and the family travels to go finally visit him. And the family comes, and his wife is at home. And she says, you must take our bed, the finest accommodations that we have. We will honor you. Please stay here. Your son is out hunting. While they're out hunting, the story goes that the devil comes to him and says, you know, your wife is in bed right now with a strange man. If you go look in your bed right now, you will see that there is a man in there. And he was enraged, and he goes home, and in the dark, he kills the two figures that are in the bed, only for his wife to turn the corner with the candle and show the horror that he has committed. So he lives this life of repentance where he wants to do good and well for everyone. And so he changes his home into this inn, and he welcomes everyone. No one has to pay anything to be welcomed for lodging and for meals. And one day, as the story goes, the devil shows up. And the devil rents a room from them, or gets a room from them, and tears up the entire house and leaves everything in disarray. And this man is mortified. He is so enraged. He said, I will never allow someone to stay here again. Time goes on, and he refuses all these people coming through, pilgrims on their way towards the Holy Land. And one day a knock comes at the door, and it's someone who wants lodging for the night. As the story goes, he says, no, I will not allow anyone in here because someone has once destroyed my home. And he said, you would not let these pilgrims stay. No, no one will stay here. And the figure that stands before him says, you've invited me into your heart, but you will not invite me into your home. And he reveals himself to be Christ. The man repents and says he is so sorry. And he turns his home then into an inn where everyone can stay, never refusing anyone. Now, if you know Christian history, story one is the story of St. Christopher. How many of you have little St. Christopher medals in your cars or everywhere? I have one of those. I admit to a certain degree of superstition. So I've got St. Christopher looking out for me. Second story is the story of St. Julian. St. Christopher is the patron saint of travelers. St. Julian is the patron saint of those who offer hospitality. What's fascinating is that we now live in a time where we don't worry so much about taking care of strangers, taking care of the other, taking care of those who are different from us or who need our assistance, because we've divorced ourselves from that. We no longer live in a society where you just knock on a door and say, I need in for tonight, and somebody says, okay. Somebody comes now and knocks on the door and says, I need a room for tonight, we'll say, well, the Motel 6 is down the road. Okay? We have lost some degree of understanding about the importance of hospitality and that holy hospitality, that idea that we are responsible for and can care for each other, and that we work together for the betterment of each other because we are part of a human family. We've lost some sense of the idea that we are, in fact, responsible for and should care for each other. Whenever we read in Scripture that by taking care of someone, we may have entertained angels unaware, we don't know exactly who it is that we may take care of in the form of the stranger. It may not just be at the house. Maybe it's here at the church whenever we have the food pantry, or whenever we're out working at the Union Mission, or whenever we send that money off to whatever charity. But my brothers and sisters, the point remains the same. We are, in fact, responsible for the care of our brothers and sisters. We are responsible as Christians. We are people called to live life differently, to live life of abundance for those around us. We are called to be charitable because God has been so charitable with us. So, the next time that you have the opportunity, my brothers and sisters, I'm not saying you invite someone to stay with you overnight, but I do invite you to always keep your hearts and your minds open so that you have the opportunity to love your neighbor as yourself, to entertain those angels unaware, to spread the gospel, to live that life of charity and grace that is the hallmark of the Christian faith. So when we leave this place which is a hospital for sinners and not a museum for saints, that we can transform the world into a place that is welcoming, open, and loving for all of God's children, no matter who they are and where they may be. Because that's our Christian duty, first and foremost, to love abundantly without ceasing. Amen.